coast to coast on the World Wide Web. This is Trot Radio on StandardBredCanada.ca. Greetings, fellow jugheads. I'm Norm Borg, and on today's show, we have a special Legends Day roundtable. As you may know, Legends Day is set for Sunday at Clinton Raceway in beautiful southwestern Ontario, nestled right in the heart of cottage country. And joining us on the roundtable are three of those legends that'll be taking part. John Campbell, Ron Waples, and the Magic Man, Bill O'Donnell, join us. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
I'm going to start with, we'll start with Ron here, talking about Legends Day and what an impact that you guys have had on this industry. I'm going to let you do some personal backpatting here. What does the popularity of Legends Day say about your collective impact on the industry?
Well, I don't know what kind of impact I had on it. I participated for a lot of years, I guess. But whatever Ian's done there, he's went to, I think, to the Little Brown Jug, and he's bottled up the atmosphere in the Little Brown Jug, and that's what happens in Clinton every Legends Day that I see.
It's unbelievable. I just talked to Ian now. He's going to feed 1,000 people here this weekend on Sunday.
That's unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, you think it would kind of peter out, but might even make it a civic holiday up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, John, you've been to a couple of Legends Days. You must have a sense of the atmosphere that's there.
It's tremendous. It just shows the love they have for harness racing in southwestern Ontario. It certainly brings me back to my roots that, you know, I raced with a lot of those people or started out or my family did. But just the enthusiasm of the fans and the people that come out there, you know, it's very humbling that they come to see us, but I think it's more a commentary on just how much they love harness racing when they come out in droves like that each and every time we have it.
A couple of years ago, the last Legends Day gathering, of course, the late Jim Doherty was part of that. He's, of course, since passed. But since then, the Meadowlands renamed one of its stakes races in his honor. I guess my question is, does racing do a sufficient job in honoring its past stars?
Oh, I think so. You know, they have the Wellwood Trot, and I think they do. You know, it's I don't think it could be a bigger honor than naming a stake race after you, so I think they do.
I couldn't agree more, Ronnie. I think Meadowlands did, you know, a great job with that race. I mean, nobody knows who Marie Annabelle was, but everybody knows who Jim Doherty was, so I think it's an honor to Jim and something that he deserves, but it gives the race more recognition than it had, I believe.
I agree fully.
They were going to call a gentleman Jim Doherty, but I said he wasn't always a gentleman.
No.
Especially if you're raised against him.
Yeah.
Along the same line, the race was renamed from that of a horse, and there's this constant debate over promoting the people versus the horses. It's virtually impossible not to honor each. I mean, we have awards, we have stakes races. Are there ways to honor past participants that you'd like to see racing take advantage of that it's currently not doing?
Well, I think that, you know, when you see the Wellwood Trot up here and Jim's race down there, I think you'll see more of it. And I think it kind of brings the industry up to snuff there. Like John said, like nobody knew who Mary Annabelle was, but everybody knew who Jim was. And I think you'll see more and more of that. But I hope they don't forget the great horses that were before us also.
So there's that balance then?
Yes.
Okay.
There's a balance there, but I think where the industry misses out is the people that have been successful in the past is as a resource. They don't take advantage of that knowledge and what they bring to the game. There's just not a place for a lot of people, to continue on in the sport once they get done participating. And I think that's a valuable resource that our industry fails to take advantage of. And if you look at other sports, they do that. You know, former players get into positions where they're making decisions or influencing what happens in the sport, and we don't do that.
So the older you get, the dumber you get in this industry.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can tell you, your opinion matters a lot more than when you're winning more races. I can tell you that for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let me ask you guys this. Goshen has its Hall of Fame race every July, and the event is held every 2 years. How much of the success can be attributed to its novelty and the rare opportunity to come face-to-face with this many driving legends?
Well, I think one thing is they have the same atmosphere at Goshen. There's no betting there, and it just shows what hard fans they are. They just want to see the horses race and see the people that they've read about. So I think it's along the same lines, really.
You can, you're sitting there. Autograph, they sit there and sign autographs. I mean, they just line up for as far as you can see at both places, right? It's year after year, Goshen.
I remember one year, I think it was the second year they had the Legends Day, and Keith was sitting beside me, and he said, you know, this is a great idea that Ian had, but he should just have one of these in a lifetime. He said, I don't think there'd be that many people show up, and I looked around the corner, and I said, you should tell those 2 hours of people we're signing for that they're not supposed to show up. It's just, it's never lost its pizzazz.
Now, you guys are a fairly competitive bunch. I'd like you each to do this for me, if you will. Name a horse that you associate with the other two guys there as a unit that you've always hated driving against because they were so hard to beat. For example, Billy and Staying Together.
Ronnie and Ralph Hanover, and John with McLobell, and you could start with the alphabet with John, with as much as I raced against him. That I just hated racing against him, not so much the horse. So.
What about you, John?
Well, I think Ralph Hanover certainly comes to mind quick with Ronnie, just because, you know, he was such a great horse and he was so handy. And racing against him, you could never get him in a bad spot. And with Billy, the first one that comes to mind is Annihilator. You know, he just was such a great horse that he just overpowered you. No matter what you did, you couldn't beat him. He was just that good. So I think those two come to mind. Although, I will tell you a funny story about practice. I raced practice in his three-year-old year in the Breeders' Crown, because Billy had a little bit of trouble getting across the border. And I'd never driven a trotter like him. When I come back, and I told Bill, I said, don't be telling him anybody how good you are winning with that one, because it is very hard to win with him.
Ronnie won with him too, John.
Yeah, Founders Gold Cup, but there was nobody there that year, I think. That's why I won.
Yeah, good drivers for taking.
Yeah.
If you guys could go back in time and be a fan for Legends Day, and I've had the privilege of attending a couple of them, when you were younger, let's say, name three horsemen you'd like to most shake hands with and have a chance to meet.
Well, I think for me it would have been Keith Waples, John's grandfather, Dunk. I mean, he was a legend. You know, when I was young, there was a lot of Dunk Campbell talk around the track, and I never got to meet him until, you know, at the Meadowlands years later. And Clint Hodgins.
Okay. What about you, Ronnie?
These are people that have passed or people are still here?
Either one.
Yeah. Well, I think Buddy Gilmore, because he used to just rattle my cage a lot of times, and I just admired the guy for the way he was around people and stuff. I thought he had the best people skills of anybody that I'd ever seen in the industry.
Charisma.
Yes, that's what word I was looking for there, Will. And definitely I would have to throw Clint Hodgins in there. But another guy that I used to hear a lot about that I never got to meet, or if I did, I don't remember meeting, was a fellow named Curly Smart.
Oh, yeah. There
a lot of people had a lot of good things to say about him.
Well, he's in the Hall of Fame, so, yeah, that'd be somebody you'd like to mingle with for sure. What about you, John?
Well, Keith always comes to mind. You know, I'd like to go back in time and pick his brain after that first two-minute mile at Richelieu Park and, you know, winning the International and things like that at the time. I'd like to, you know, if you could fast forward, a good friend of ours, Shelley Goodrow, passed away. I would love to pick his brain to see if he could, you know, reappear and just see the difference in racing from when he was there, because he was certainly successful and just ultra-talented. And then Clint Hodgins would be somebody else I'd like to pick their brain, just how, you know, how they looked at things with the horses the way they were now to how much they've changed to what we're dealing with in this day and age.
Now, fast forward 30 years, guys. Maybe you can name three drivers of today that'll be at Clinton's Legend Day and say 2045.
Oh, that's an easy one. I'm just going by the people that I see around up here, but for me it would be probably Scotty Zeron. I'm a big fan of his, the way he drives. I'm a big fan of James McDonald, and you know, I guess I got to give honorable mention to Randy, because he seems to do pretty good.
Yeah, he does. What about you, Ronnie? I'm sorry, what about you, Bill?
Yeah, I agree with Ronnie. Those are very good choices, all of them. And Christopher Oak, another one.
Mm-hmm. John?
I think there's going to be more than three. I think everybody that's mentioned there is going to be there eventually. Certainly Randy, Christopher are a little older than Scotty, but Scotty will get there for sure eventually. And then James McDonald is just getting started, but he shows a tremendous amount of ability. And Doug McNair's so young in his career, but he's got just an unbelievable talent.
Yeah, I'd say those are pretty good picks all along. Now, you are kind enough to sit there and sign autographs for as long as you do. Surely by now there must be some great stories of the most unique or unbelievable items that someone's brought to you to Legends Day to have you sign or maybe to even show you. What are some of the doozies, guys?
Well, I could tell you a little story about sitting there signing one day that when you're, and I'm sure the other guys will agree, when you're sitting there signing, you're kind of signing and talking to the person that's in front of you, and you're kind of with the other ear listening to the person that's coming up. And we were signing there one day, and this lady had a little girl, and she'd be maybe 6, 8 years old or whatever. And so I'm signing in front of me, and then she's up to bat next. So she must have said to her mother about something, who I was, and her mother must have said that I was famous. And the little girl raised as clear as could be. She said, "I thought you had to be dead to be famous." I said, "Well, I'm not. I'm still here." I always remember that. I thought that was really good.
What about now, Billy? You've got to have some whale of a story.
Well, the one that, you know, guys would come by there, and then Dave Wall was sitting beside me there, and, you know, and he started around that area, and they had pictures of him when he was like 16 and 15 and stuff or whatever when he first started driving. I thought that was pretty unique.
You see
all kinds there, really. I mean, it's unbelievable some of the stuff they bring to get signed.
Yeah, John?
Well, the funniest thing that didn't happen for signing was at the little brown jug, actually. It was after the races. We were back at our motorhome, and this girl with a real low-cut top come over, and she wanted me to sign her breast.
Was Paula there then?
No.
Yeah, I knew Paula wasn't right there, but I was afraid she'd be watching.
You better hope she's not going to listen to
this. I can't do that.
You better
walked away, and after she left, Paula stuck her head out the window. Good job you didn't sign that.
Gee, I knew I should have been a harness driver. Doggone it. Ron Waples, you joked that the only reason that he went to Goshen was because he got the favorite. He has, Ron, you got the 8-5 favorite on Sunday, while Bill and John have two of the long shots. So, Ron, I'd like you to comment on this first, and then allow Bill and John to refute. The question is, why is Ron Waples going to or not going to win the 2015 Legends Day Trot?
Well, I guess it'd be seven good reasons why I'm probably not going to win it, and that's each of the other drivers. So that'd be the seven reasons I'm not going to win it. The reason I'm going to win it, I need a lot of luck. They say he's a nice horse. I don't know the horse very good, but they say he's a nice horse. Anthony Hahn drives him all the time, and he was telling me about him. He's a real nice horse.
Okay. What about you, John?
Well, I mean, obviously, I got handicapped a little bit by post as well. Sometimes you get carried away to racing a horse that figures in there a little too much and use them up too much in the front, and that's kind of what I'm hoping with Ronnie on Sunday.
Billy?
Well, I've never seen lightning strike the same spot twice.
Will the magic man be able to work his magic?
Oh, I don't know. I'll just follow along there. I'll just take Waples' lead there. I'll follow him. So I think he had better luck following me than I had following him. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Well, guys, this has been a great discussion. It's always a pleasure to have three guys of your stature on with us. Give my regards to Ian Fleming. Congratulate him on the great job he does every year for Legends Day. And what a pleasure. Thanks, guys. Have fun on Sunday.
Okay, thanks.
Have a great one. Thank you.